He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. Jesus prophesies Peter's death, what's going to happen to Peter. And a lot of us Catholics will be watching the news this week as the cardinals enter into conclave, and you're going to see pictures of the Sistine Chapel, videos of St. Peter's Basilica, and the piazza outside St. Peter's, the square. Smack dab in the middle of the piazza of St. Peter's Square is this huge obelisk. It's an Egyptian obelisk. It was hewn out of one piece of granite. It weighs 240 tons, and it's like 90 feet tall. Unique amongst all the different obelisks that you find around the world, there's no hieroglyphs or anything on it. And it's at least 4,500 years old. It's been around a long time. But it didn't always used to be in Rome. The Romans were thieves. So they would take the things that they wanted. It used to be in the center of Heliopolis, Egypt, present-day Cairo. And it was at the center of all of their public happenings. 4,500 years old. Moses probably would have seen this obelisk. Mary and Joseph, when they brought Jesus into Egypt, may have seen this obelisk. But around the year 30 AD, the emperor brings it from Egypt to Rome, and it's planted in the middle of Nero's circus on the Vatican Hill. Vatican Hill was really outside. It's like an hour walk from where the Colosseum is. So it's really kind of on the outskirts of town where you have the riffraff. So Nero would have his circus where he'd perform gladiator games, and just to appease the people, to keep them at bay so that they would not revolt against the emperor. And it was there in 64 AD in Nero's circus that Peter was killed. He was crucified upside down. Christians were being killed for three reasons in Rome. The first one was incest. The Romans accused them of marrying their brothers and sisters, which was false familially, but the Christians always referred to fellow Christians as brothers and sisters, because if we call God Father, that means we are related in the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters. But the Romans didn't like that. They said that the Christians were cannibals because they claimed to eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus. So they didn't like that. And then finally, they claimed that the Christians were atheists because they refused to pay tribute to the Roman gods. And so under these same charges, Peter goes and he's crucified at the center of Nero's circus with thousands of people looking on. And the tradition is that Peter felt so unworthy. He knew he was going to be crucified. He felt so unworthy to die in the same fashion as Jesus that he said, I don't want to be crucified upright. I want to be crucified upside down. And he's crucified in the shadow of that obelisk, right beneath it. That Peter, in his last moment, sees the world completely flipped on its head, which is what Jesus came to do. That Jesus gives us a new, not just a new perspective, but a completely new way of seeing all of reality. That this world can't just be all for me and what it is that I desire. In these last moments before Jesus is going to leave Peter in today's gospel, he tells him, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. Peter is taken from his cross. The followers of Jesus cut off his legs and buried him promptly so that they wouldn't throw his body into the Tiber River. And it was there at Peter's tomb that they built a basilica after Constantine in the 300s. And then they rebuilt the basilica in the 1500s, and that's the one you're going to see on TV this week. And in the 1500s, they moved that obelisk from where Nero's circus was right to St. Peter's Square. And it took them more than 6 months to do it. It was so heavy. We see in this relationship between Jesus and Peter, one that's just so human, so real for us. Peter, who has these big desires, I want to serve you. Lord, I will not betray you. I do love you. He told him during the week of Jesus' last time here. And then on the night of Good Friday, Peter denies him three times, or Holy Thursday. Peter denies him three times as he's warming himself by a charcoal fire. But Jesus gives him an opportunity to repent. Jesus lights this charcoal fire. It's the only time we see these two words is in John's gospel, when Peter denies him, and then when Jesus gives him the opportunity to repent. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Actually, he doesn't say Peter, he says Simon. And Jesus had changed his name. I call you Peter, you are a rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. But now Jesus knows how weak he is. He's like, you're not the rock that I needed you to be. You're just you, Simon, apart from me, apart from my mission, apart from the things that I have prepared for you. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Simon, do you love me? You and I only remain far from the Lord if we never repent, if we never turn away from our old life, the things that keep us from God. It's not as if God is keeping us at bay, but he needs to find a repentant heart. This totally changes the dynamic of Peter's trajectory from this point on. Judas, who had similarly betrayed Jesus, went out, and we hear, hanged himself. He refused to repent. All the gunk that had built up in his heart continued to poison him from within, such that he couldn't even stand himself anymore. He didn't want to be here anymore. And yet Peter has this moment to repent. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, but I am so poor. I'm sorry for what I've done. But Peter, for us, is a point of unity. Peter, for us, is a point of unity. He keeps the church together. Jesus tells him to feed my sheep, to tend my sheep. And this week, hopefully before next Sunday, we might have a new Peter. I have no idea who it's going to be. Don't ask me. Got no betting odds. I have no idea. And yet, this is our point of unity, that Jesus provides a steward here on earth to shepherd his flock in imitation of this first Peter. All of the popes, until recently, always wore red shoes. They wore red shoes because Peter had walked in the blood of the martyrs. Like, we need that same spirit to be led where maybe I don't want to go. To not just make my choices as if I'm a young person who can do whatever they want and is invincible, but that there's always a surrender necessary to God's plan for our life. And when we stumble and when we fall, we repent and we tell the Lord, yes, I love you. No matter my brokenness, no matter my sin, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Today, as we approach this Eucharist, Jesus feeds his sheep. He continues to tend the flock. And we ask for the grace to surrender our cross, to surrender our lives to the Lord, and tell him that we do indeed love him.